interesting article that occurred that has been ongoing this week. January is typically a month where they, after New Year's, the news personalities will come on and say, okay, for the rest of January, we're not going to drink. So let's do a dry January. So this is interesting. Alcohol linked to cancer risk in the U.S., Surgeon General's new advisory. And so if you want cancer, the best way to get cancer is to drink alcohol. Seven different types of cancer that are absolutely preventable that are caused by alcohol consumption. 100 cases of cancer every year, 20,000 cancer deaths just by alcohol. Just interesting stuff in the news. I say long before the Surgeon General figured it out, God's Word figured out that alcohol would kill you and said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoso is deceived thereby is not wise. Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. One of my favorite New Year's passages is Luke chapter 13, verse 6. And we're going to read those verses, verses 6 through 9 of this morning. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he, answering, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. The master, noticing that the fig tree is not yielding fruit, gives the command, cut it down. The caretaker, hearing that from the master, says, wait a minute, give it another chance. Let me fertilize it. Let me take care of it. Let me reach out to it. Let me help it along. And give it another year. Spirit, one more year. I like this passage because it reminds me of my job as the caretaker of God's flock. And from time to time, I reach out to people who are missing or people who are straying and struggling and say, listen, come back to the Lord. Do right. Put away the foolishness. Take your spirituality to another level. And my job as the caretaker to help people along the way reach their fullest potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. And every once in a while, I'll be visiting someone in jail, and they're not there for preaching the gospel. Or have to go to court with someone who has been charged with a crime, and that crime is not preaching the gospel. And I'll sit down with them and say, God gives second chances. He does. He absolutely does. And there is hope for you if you come to the Lord. That's what the caretaker does. The pastor stands in the way before God on your behalf, encouraging the Lord, give them another year. Give another year. The very fact that you are sitting here this morning is a testimony that God has spared your life in 2024. And it should cause us, as we enter into a new year, to look at the time that God has given us and to strive, January Stewardship Month, to strive to be good stewards of the year that God has given us of the day. If the Lord should tarry, you may not be here at the end of 2025. And look around the room this morning and see several of you who can testify to the fact that you have loved ones that are not here in 2025. Tomorrow we have the funeral service for Miss Christine Furr, who passed away just before 2024 came to a close. We do not have a guarantee of tomorrow. God's curse of the fig tree was because it was not bearing fruit. We have an obligation to be stewards of the gospel message. What are you doing to bear fruit? To bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. To take a gospel tract in the rack on the way out, on the left side as you're heading out the door. And they're there. They're full. Check them this morning. Take a gospel tract and hand it to somebody and say, "This changed my life." Say, "Preacher, nobody responds to a gospel tract message." Last Sunday evening, we had a man who was in the church service because somebody in this room, it wasn't me, gave them a gospel tract. People still respond to the gospel message. The problem is not the gospel. The problem is that we are not always good stewards of the message. So, a new year is a wonderful time of reflection. What are you doing? We're going to do that a little bit this morning. Some things to remember, some things to forget. Last year's history, listen, you can't change that. You can't change the mistakes that you made last year, but you can strive not to make those same mistakes this year. You can. And I want to encourage you to do that. Someone will say to me, "Pastor, I did this and I did that," and they're looking at their past and the things that they have done. And I tell them, introspection is only good to the extent that it brings change. What is that? Beating yourself up over something you did 20 years ago is not helpful to you unless it is going to inspire you to do different, to be better, to change this year. And you want to write that down. Introspection is only good to the extent that it brings change. Because last year is history. You cannot change the past, but you can strive to do something different in 2025, to make this a better year, to be a better student, to be a better parent, to be a better driver. There are lots of things that you can strive to do. Bible tells us there are some things that we ought to forget. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians is another wonderful reminder of that quote that I just gave you. Introspection is only good to the extent that it brings change. That is not original to me. I was introduced to that, I don't know, maybe 50 years ago. I have no idea who shared that with me, but that resonated with me and has helped me and has helped me to help others. Here in Philippians chapter 3, we have the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Who is Paul? Well, he was a persecutor of churches. He would be one of those swearing Jack Wallers that persecuted the church, put Christians in jail, oversaw their beatings. He was present at the stoning of Stephen. So he had a lot in his past. Then he came to know Christ and became a passionate preacher of the Word of God. Scores of churches are being started as a result of his ministry. But if you think that once you get saved, that all of the things that you've done BC, before Christ, are just going to disappear, that is not the case. And so here's Paul. He pillows his head at night the same way you do. and you have regrets over things that you have done or things that you have said, he has that as well. We're in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not here to tell you that I've arrived. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press. It's hard work. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Satan desires to condemn you. He'll bring up the things that you've done in your past and he'll throw them in your face and he'll tell you that you are absolutely no good, worthless. Maybe even telling you you should end your life. And that is not the solution. Which is why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press. I want to this morning encourage you to press toward the mark for the prize. When you are condemned, it is Satan that is doing that. And sometimes that can be at the hands of well-meaning friends that throw your past in your face. Christians will condemn you, remind you of your past. When you do that, you are doing Satan's work. When someone is trying to do the right thing and you are constantly throwing it in their face, well, remember when you did and remember when you did and remember when you did, that is not the Holy Spirit work. That's the devil work. He is the accuser of the brethren. Don't do Satan's work. What should we do? There are some things that we should forget. You can forget your failures. Thomas Edison did thousands of experiments until he was successful with the light bulb. His light bulb was so successful that it lasted 77 years. Had a light bulb burn out recently? They don't want to make them too good anymore. If they make them too good, then you won't buy enough replacements. So they've got to make them so they don't last quite as long. He would sit in his chair with a bell in his hand, working hour after hour, and he'd get tired in his chair. And he'd drift to sleep. And when he would drift to sleep, he would drop the bell. The bell would ring, wake him back up, and he'd go back to work. He was relentless in striving to invent. That was his passion. Our passion ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should awake ourselves. Don't let people say to you, well, you've not been successful in your Bible reading in 2024, so just give up. No, put a bell in your hand, and when you're reading your Bible and you fall asleep, the bell falls, wakes you back up, and get reading again. We have the scripture memory passage for 2025. I didn't memorize it in 2024. Well, it's a new year. It's a new passage. Strive to memorize God's word. Strive to be, again, a better student. You figure out what has dogged you in 2024. And I'm not even talking about making a resolution. I'm just talking about being resolute. We know what we ought to do, being resolute and deciding that we're not going to quit. We're not going to let others tell us that we're a failure. We're going to do our best for the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget those failures. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. Pressing toward the mark for the prize. Forget your failures. Forget your grievances. Stop living in the past. Stop reminding yourself, well, I'm not going to church anymore because once upon a time I got hurt in church. You will. I'm not gonna invest time in school because I got hurt by a teacher once. You will. I'm not gonna work anymore because I got fired unjustly once. Those things happen. But don't dwell on them. Some people walk around with a chip on their shoulder, and it is evident. Education, color, race, person, mother-in-law, dogs, cats, chickens. I got a wife, kids, they're just sour. They complain. It doesn't matter what it is. I hate cats, I hate dogs, I hate people, I hate Chevys, I hate Fords. And they just walk around and they're just angry people. And you don't even have to talk to them. Just go to the next traffic light, watch the traffic light turn red, and just look at the drivers around you as they're beating on the steering wheel and shaking their hands. And that is, people are just angry. Dump the chip. Forget those things. Forget the hurts. And accept that you have a destiny as a Christian, that none of those things, the firings, the anger, the beatings, the mobs, the mob violences we talked about in our earlier session, that does not have to define you. What it should do is inspire you, Romans chapter 8, 28, because as Christians, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God will take that hurt, He'll take that anger, He'll take that whipping, He'll take that beating, He'll take that unjust firing, if you'll let Him, and He'll turn it into His good and His glory. And we know that all things... I like to interject as I'm talking to someone, they come to me and say, Pastor, this happened to me, this is so wrong. And we know that all things, even this thing, as terrible as it is, as horrible as it is, as demeaning as it is, all things, even that thing, God will use to His good and His glory if you'll let Him. That's your destiny and God's ability to work in it. And it has inspired Christians throughout the ages. Joseph in Genesis said to his brothers, came to him and said, Joseph, we mistreated you. We sold you into slavery. We would have killed you. We hated you so much. And Joseph looked at his brothers and said, you absolutely intended this to me for evil. But Joseph understood something that we have a tendency to forget. Joseph looked right back at his brothers and said, your intent was to hurt me, but God turned it into good to the extent to save. Joseph is responsible for literally feeding the world because of his faithfulness to God in spite of the terror that his family inflicted upon him. Accept it as God's will. Or the alternative is become bitter, and then nobody wants to be around you. Withdrawn. Hateful. Don't let Satan destroy you. Things to forget. There are some things that we should resolve. Resolutions. We should resolve in 2025 to do what? To pray more. That's a good admonition. I am convinced in my own personal life as the pastor that my failures, every single one of them, can be traced to a prayer failure. I get busy. I get distracted, just like you do. And my prayer life drops. Now you look at every failure in my life and I can trace it right back to there. And so I resolve, not just at the beginning of the new year, but oftentimes throughout the year, because it is easy to get distracted, to be prayerful. Why? Because Satan is powerful. He is more powerful than me. And I need God's help. I need God's help in my marriage to make sure that I am responding to Mrs. Bishop in a godly, right manner, to make sure that I'm responding to my children in a right, godly manner, to make sure that I'm responding to other drivers on the road in a right, godly manner. And you need God's help to do that. I have resolved to preach better, to study more, to be better in my preparation, to be pointed, to make it personal, to inspire you to love God. Jonathan Edwards, he was pretty pointed. He saw a church member go into a beer joint, and the next Sunday morning he called them out by name from the pulpit. I say, well, that's a little too pointed. Jonathan Edwards didn't think so. I want to pray more, to preach better. I want to have a greater concern for those who are without Jesus Christ. It is easy to become complacent. One of the people that inspire me is Rick. Rick's always got a gospel track and a gospel message, and it doesn't matter who is coming in to Krispy Kreme on the Tuesday when we meet there. Rick is saying, on the way in or on the way out, hey, hey. And I don't know what it is. People always stop and talk to Rick, and people turn around and go, yes. Say, God bless you. Have a good day. Had people a gospel track. That inspires me to be a better steward, better have a better concern for the lost. Concern to understand that person that you are looking at is going to spend eternity somewhere forever, and you may be the last person they see before they wake up and stand before God as their judge or as their savior. Paul preached with tears. It said of Jesus that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We know Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Shed some tears. It'll make a difference. To pray more, to preach more, to have a greater concern for the lost. You can't talk about stewardship without talking about giving more. Say, oh, there you go, Baptist preachers, they always talk about money. Hey, have you noticed everybody talks about money? Pick up the newspaper and I guarantee you the state is going to say, we don't have enough money. Congress is going to get up over here and they're going to talk about money. We don't have enough, we need more, you've got it and we want it. Oil, gas prices, stock market, the price of milk. We were in Michigan. The governor signed a law that said no more eggs from chickens that are in a chicken coop. The chickens have to be able to wander around free, and if they're not wandering around free chickens, then you can't sell their eggs in Michigan. As a result, the eggs are hitting $10, $11, $12 a dozen. In Michigan. What is that? We're talking about money. Money. It's just a natural thing. Housing is up, rent is up, utilities up, government's in debt, bankruptcies, foreclosure, credit cards. Everybody talks about money. Recent estimate that only 10% of church Christians tithes. Preacher, I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm going on vacation. I can't teach. I won't sing. I just won't. And in Luke chapter 13, the Lord looks at the unproductive tree and says, cut it down. And the preacher stands before the Lord and says, give the tree another year. My prayer for you is that the Lord will give you another year to serve Him. Serve the Lord in 2024. How do we do that? Prioritize. What is important to you? What are your priorities? The 2024 Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year. You ready for this? 2024, Oxford, every year, they put out a word of the year. 2024, Oxford Dictionary's word of the year is brain rot. Brain rot. Now, when I saw that, my first thought was, that's two words. But, nonetheless, that is the word. What is brain rot? Here's the definition of brain rot. The deterioration of a person's mental or intellectual state, especially viewed as a result of, are you ready for this? Overconsumption of material considered to be trivial or unchallenging. Brain rot. So I picture a person with brain rot. Mindlessly flipping through Facebook pages. Brain rot. Brain rot. Do you suffer from it? Watching videos on YouTube over and over and over and over again. Binge watching TV hour after hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, till before you know it, you are a victim of brain rot. So what do? You want to look through Facebook, see what the family's doing? Have at it. Just don't spend 16 hours a day at it. Prioritize what? So, we got some scripture memory up here. We have Zachary's ready for us. He's got a whole stack of scripture memory pages for you. And he's going to pass out here in a few minutes. Study God's word. Say, preacher, I'm getting old. It's not getting easier. You're not getting younger, and it's not going to get any easier. You might as well start today. Prioritize your walk with the Lord. Pastor, this year, I'm going to make it my goal to put God first on every single day of every single decision. And my first response back would be, will I see you in church on the first Sunday of January? My favorite story in 30 years of ministry is a man. I went to his home. It was one of these fig tree stories. And I went to his home and I said, hey, you haven't been in church, you haven't been serving the Lord, you haven't been doing the right thing. You need to come to the Lord, you need to get back, you need to start doing the right thing. And will I see you in church on Sunday? And he said, oh, you know, preacher, I don't know. I've got a lot going on, and this, that, and the other thing going on, and this is going on, and family members sick, and this is going on. I got people, it's all kinds of things. And I looked at him because he was a motorcycle rider, and every year he went Memorial Day over in Washington, D.C. on Rolling Thunder. And I looked at him and I said, hey, because this is in January. And I said, hey, in May, I got Rolling Thunder coming in town. You doing that this year? He said, oh, yeah, preacher, you know, I'll be there. Everywhere you can count on me. Baby. Not a lot going on because the Lord just wasn't a priority. Make your walk with the Lord a priority. Pray for God's blessings on your life because we need, if we're going to be successful in any endeavor in life, we need God's blessings. When I think of people who were overcomers, in spite of the difficult circumstances, I think of Noah. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah had an exceptional connection with God. Noah lived in a time of excessive evil and wickedness. But he had the courage to follow God's instructions. And God's word documents his faithfulness in Hebrews chapter 11. He stayed true to his convictions rather than allowing the events and the circumstances of the world to sour him. Noah, Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all men who could have said, "It's too hard to serve the Lord, I just quit." But instead said, "I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. I'm going to follow him." Verses 2. The crazy lunatic that on New Year's Day turned his truck down a street and sent 15 people to their deaths. Noah just said, "I know that all things, even this thing, will work together for good if I will love God and strive to be called according to his purpose." Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Will you strive in this year, 2025, to be more like a Noah, a Joseph, a Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, Apostle Paul, and put the hurt beside, leave the disappointments behind, and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Will you be that person who, in spite of past failures, will let the caretaker, the preacher, work with you to help you achieve greater things in 2025? Will you let the preacher pray for you this morning? As a caretaker, and say, "Lord, give them another year to bring honor and glory to you." Say, "Preacher, that is my heart cry this morning. Would you pray for me? Remember me in your prayers that God would give me another year of faithful stewardship to him and that I commit to do and to live for him in this year." And Father, as I look around the room, the hands have gone up in the on the left and on the right, in the middle. I can see their faces, faces of people that love you and desire to be used of you, desire to allow you to do great things in their life. And Father, these are not folks without disappointments, without struggles. And I pray that they would not focus on the magnitude of their trouble, but they would focus on the wonder, the power of their God, and that you would enable them, that you would empower them to do great things for you in 2025. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning and you say, "Pastor, I do not know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you pray for me? I am not on my way to heaven." Slip your hand up, hold it up for just a moment. "I don't know Christ. I'm not on my way to heaven. I need salvation, first of all, first and foremost." Let's stand to our feet. The piano playing, the altar is open. If you want the preacher to pray for you, I'll be delighted to do that. You obey as God speaks.